In this episode of Standard Bank's Corporate and Investment Banking's podcast series, we speak to Andre Snyders, Research Economics Manager, who recently attended the manufacturing in Indaba. Thanks, Andre, for joining us. Please tell me more about your role.
I'm an industry specialist in the economic research team, and my focus is on particular industries. A lot of my colleagues cover things like currencies, equity, and debt, but my focus is on particular industries such as the autos industry, pharmaceuticals, insurance, agriculture, and of course, manufacturing.
Andre, you recently attended a virtual Indaba on manufacturing. What was it about?
The manufacturing Indaba is a really big date in the calendar of industrial South Africa, and it's been held for many years. This year it's virtual, and it was really a great opportunity for people from all parts of the manufacturing sector to get together to exchange ideas and to get updates from other people who are relevant to manufacturing firms. So policymakers like Minister Patel, Andre de Ruyter, who's the head of Eskom, Transnet was also well represented, and of course some international speakers talking about some new international business models that are relevant to South Africa and, in fact, the whole of Africa.
What are the key themes or insights that came out of it?
So Standard Bank participated in two particular panels. The first one was all about electric vehicles and how electric vehicles are changing the face of the auto industry. And not just the auto industry, it's relevant to power generation. It's relevant to logistics. It has implications for taxation and the public sector and a whole lot of others. The second panel that we participated in was specifically on the African Continental Free Trade Area. And that's an agreement that that has been signed some time ago by a lot of African states who are determined to trade more with each other. So many African states trade with the European Union and with China and with the United States, but only 15% of our total trade is with each other. So, for example, Zambia exporting to Kenya, Kenya exporting to Ghana, Ghana buying things from South Africa, and South Africa exporting to Botswana. And what the FTA does is it puts a framework in place that allows us to get much more intra-African trade happening by lowering the duties that we charge each other. So, for example, if you make an umbrella in South Africa and you're selling that to Ghana, Ghana would make it easier for our umbrellas to enter the Ghanaian market. And the same thing for Nigeria. Let's say exporting food products to Kenya. The free trade agreement, makes it easier for that trade to happen. So some of the key themes that came out, certainly a localization, was a big issue, especially during the pandemic. A lot of people have been struggling with the global supply chains. People haven't been able to get the material they need to complete the industrial processes that they need to do. To earn revenue. And it's much easier very often to buy your raw materials or even unfinished goods locally. And so we're looking at how to get more out of local supply. Of course, we still support trade. So we still want to buy things internationally and sell things internationally, but we just want to get it back to a more normal level. Another one of the key themes that came out was, the dramatic changes on our power supply in South Africa. We've seen a lot of load shedding, and we see Eskom facing a bit of a debt crisis. And so we had a lot of discussion about how industrial firms can protect themselves from that crisis. And there are a lot of great ideas, with cogeneration and renewables, a lot of which Standard Bank is involved in. So, that was very positive. And another key theme that came out, I would say, is, levels of investment. Investment from international investors, certainly in, for example, the autos industry, but also, you know, in pharmaceuticals and other types of manufacturing. You know, in South Africa, the biggest type of manufacturing is food manufacturing. It's 25% of all manufacturing. And we're seeing, you know, quite a lot of international interest in South Africa's food manufacturing capacity, partly because, you know, it's very high quality, and partly because we export to our region.
You touched on a couple of themes, Andre. What is Standard Bank's view or position on some of those key themes?
Well, Standard Bank looks at the opportunities, and we're very excited about some of the bold moves that have been made. So obviously the signing of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement is definitely an ambitious move. And we're also excited about the potential for electric vehicles, amongst other things. So, you know, we see the opportunities, but we also see the risks. And the risk is most obvious if we look at electric vehicles. So South Africa, we export, say, about 300 to 350,000 vehicles a year. And we export them to markets that are planning to ban the sale of internal combustion vehicles in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years. That means that our exports are really under threat. There's a big move toward electric vehicle production. And so we realize that as a country, we need to do that. We need to get involved in it, not just in vehicle assembly, but we need to get involved in the batteries. We need to get involved in maintenance. We need to get involved in the materials that go into the batteries. We need to think about the insurance of these vehicles. We need to think about what it's going to do to our fuel supplies. South Africa spends an awful amount on fuel, and the fuel levy is a big part of a government's taxation. 6% of all government revenue comes from the fuel levy. So, there's a big potential for new investments from the large manufacturers like Ford, BMW, and Toyota. And we're likely to see them investing in their production facilities in South Africa so that the vehicles we export are ready for the markets in Japan, Germany, the UK, and the US. So that's very exciting. But we also need to be aware that if we don't make that change, the vehicles we're currently exporting are likely to be banned for sale there. One of my favorite business models in the auto sector, specifically with electric vehicles, comes from a Chinese manufacturer. And it's particularly relevant for sub-Saharan Africa because we need to look at creative, low-cost models for vehicles. And in this case, what they do is they will sell you the vehicle without the battery. The reason they do that is because the battery is by far the most expensive part of the car. And what happens is you lease the battery, and there's the opportunity to upgrade the battery separately to the car. What this does is it makes the vehicle more affordable, and it also means you get a longer lasting asset because the battery can be upgraded separately to the vehicle. And there are many other business models that we see in automotive and other industries, manufacturing industries in particular, to bring down the cost of owning an asset and to bring down the cost of something like mobility in general. When we think of electric vehicles, many of us think of a passenger car, but a hatchback does not have a monopoly on mobility. You can have electric buses, there are electric powered trains, and all sorts of things. So we really need to think quite broadly about that. And when you combine that with distributed renewable energy, you get a really powerful model for providing mobility to African communities. The other of Standard Bank views is certainly that the free trade area needs to be well understood, certainly by our clients. Some clients I've spoken to think that what's been created is a customs union, and that's simply not true. We've created a free trade area, and we're lowering the tariffs on almost all goods. So 90% of the tariff lines need to go down to zero over a period of 5 or 10 years. 7% of the tariff lines can be partially protected for a period of, let's say, 5 to 7 years. And then 3% of the tariff lines can be protected for the foreseeable future. So right now, countries are trying to decide which products they want to protect, and they're working out a roadmap to reduce the tariffs on those other 97%. And that's it's a big upheaval for a lot of countries. There's a lot of internal discussion, a lot of internal debate that has to happen. And the next big event on the free trade area is going to be the announcement of the rules of origin. I'll say a little bit more about those because they're so important. Basically, until the rules of origin are announced, we don't yet know what impact the free trade area will have on our economy. The rules of origin will tell us what percentage of any product needs to be substantially transformed locally for it to qualify as an African product. So, for example, let's go back to the umbrella. 100% of the umbrella is never going to be manufactured locally. We might import some of the fabric, we might import some of the steel, but 80% of the umbrella might be local, in which case it might qualify. In autos, for example, it looks like the level of local content will be somewhere in the region of 30 to 40%. And they're working these out slowly for each sector, for textiles, for automotive, for pharmaceuticals, and in each case there'll be a slightly different percentage. The real challenge, of course, is for governments to implement these through the taxation and customs and all the trade systems. And Standard Bank's view is that all the investment that's likely to come from governments and from the private sector is likely to be very positive. But without those investments, we won't get the full benefit of the free trade area.
Sticking to auto, especially around the electric vehicles, as well as the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, what can we expect to see in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, there's no doubt that the next 3 to 5 years are going to be critical for so many reasons, where the energy profile of the world is changing. So we're moving away from carbon-based energy and moving toward other forms of energy. Some of those are electrical. Some of it will be gas. There might even be nuclear and few other types of energy. So that's a big change. And we're likely to see huge investments moving into new forms of energy. And some of that will be distributed energy. At the same time, we're pretty much at the low point of the interest rate cycle. And central banks are just about to start raising rates as we come out of the very low point. As central banks start to take action, we'll see investment following the big changes in energy. And of course, not just changes in energy, but the way governments and households and businesses respond. In many ways, the energy transition is very difficult. But fortunately, there's a lot of technological development, and that's what I think we'll certainly see in electric vehicles over the next 3 to 5 years. We'll see better types of batteries. We'll see more models of electric vehicles being launched, not just by the smaller players like Tesla and NIO and BYD, but by bigger players like Toyota, Volkswagen, BMW, and Ford. And they will be investing in production facilities all over the world and certainly in Africa as well. So more investment from the manufacturers and better technology. From governments, we expect to see policies coming out. South Africa has already published a green paper on new energy vehicles, and we hope to see other countries doing the same. On the intra-African trade, we expect to see, I think, the slow realization and the slow education of businesses of exactly what has been agreed. It's a very complex agreement, and not all the details have been announced yet, but once the rules of origin have been announced, we expect some of the large African multinationals and global multinationals to begin building this into their plans, especially their investment plans. So, for example, in textiles, once we see the rules announced, then we could see large firms being set up specifically to take advantage of that. I think we'll see winners and losers over time. And as a bank, you know, we'll be there to deal with everybody, people who need to invest to improve their productive capacity, and also people who buying new technology or disposing of assets that are no longer relevant in this new environment.
Great insights, Andre. I hope listeners enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Is there anything that you would like to say as we wrap up our conversation?
To wrap up, I'd like to point to some very important trends that we've seen over the last decade or so that I think will become much more visible. So the first one is that most capital goods are becoming much more affordable. So apart from transport capital goods like aeroplanes, trucks, and cars, all other capital goods, so for example, machinery that we use for production, that's becoming cheaper. So that's positive for manufacturing in Africa. It's cheaper for us to buy the machinery that we need to become industrial economies. The second big trend is the new types of energy. Africa has always been involved in energy production. West Africa in particular is a big exporter of energy, and even Southern Africa in the form of coal is a big exporter. What we're likely to see, what I didn't mention before, is we're likely to see Africa using more of its own energy and putting that into industrial production. And that would be very positive as well. At the moment, we export the energy and we import the manufactured goods. In future, it's likely that Africa will take advantage of renewables and other forms of energy to feed directly into its own small industrial sectors. And that will be very good for the balancing of our economy, balancing of import and export trade, and potentially good for employment as well.
Thanks for joining us today, Andre.
It's been a pleasure talking to you about manufacturing, and particularly the manufacturing Indaba that we attended recently. And we look forward to working with our clients who are implementing a lot of these new business models and adapting to the new manufacturing environment.
Standard Bank. It can be. Standard Bank is an authorized financial services and registered credit provider.